Today's podcast is brought to you by Balance 7. Save $10 plus free shipping this week only with code HOWIE10 at balance7.com. Enjoy the podcast.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. Can you believe it is Wednesday? We are just cruising through this week, and there's tons of stuff to get to. I think a big part of today's show is obviously going to be... Yes, you guessed it. It is going to be about General Milley. That is a huge story. It's even getting response from people you wouldn't expect. Some even liberal commentators are saying that what he did is out of bounds. And we're going to break that all down. There's a lot of great pieces out there about it. And there's really two scenarios here. If you missed yesterday and you're thinking, oh boy, what did Milley do now? Did he go on another rant about white rage? It's a little more serious than that this time. There's a book out. It's called Peril, and it's by Bob Woodward and Robert Costa. And now there's two possible options, one of which being that they're lying, because what they're claiming is insane. But before I even get to that, let's put out the first option, which is a 2021 journalist, two journalists got something wrong. If you followed any news during the Trump years, you know that this is a very possible scenario. I would not be shocked at all. I saw Senator Tom Cotton on TV today, and Rick Grenell was on TV saying the same thing, which is we should all consider the fact that these people tend to make mistakes. They tend to get things wrong. They tend to over-exaggerate. They tend to run with things in hopes of selling tons and tons, or at least a couple hundred books. So that is a very plausible scenario. But on the other hand, if this is true, if General Mark Milley actually called a Chinese general and basically, and I saw someone, I think it was in Paroline, describe it like saying, oh, there's not going to be any sort of attack on you. President Trump is bluffing. Not that President Trump was saying he was going to attack China, but he was calling up China to reassure them that he would be on, you know, their side, basically giving them information. That's a blanket summary of the accusation here. And what I will say is, as much as the first scenario where we have two hacked journalists who are lying in a book is very plausible, if you've watched General Mark Milley over the last couple of months, and specifically over the last couple of weeks with the botched withdrawal from Afghanistan, and like I mentioned, his lamenting about white rage, his very clear dislike of President Donald Trump, I don't think that's going to come to a shock to anyone. The other option, this second one, the latter here, is also not out of bounds. It's also something that, while it's stunning, while the accusation is stunning, it's on brand. You know what the kids say? It tracks. This tracks for something that General Mark Milley would do. And what they're saying is that he called a Chinese general to assure him that Trump wouldn't launch a surprise attack. And at the very least, this kind of action warrants, I'm going to say this again, at the very least, if this is true, which he has not denied, does not make it true, but he has not denied it yet. At the very least, this warrants firing. And as a lot of people pointed out today, including Ben Weingarten, who's a favorite guest on this show, it deserves much more than a firing. You know, the pink slip is not going to cut it. It deserves an investigation. And I hate the word treasonous because I have seen it tossed around so often over the last 5 years. I mean, ugh, it's one of those words for me, like constitutional crisis, those two words. Treasonous is, it's overused. And every time I see it, I tend to steer clear of it. But this is, in my lifetime, if it's true, one of the most treasonous things I've seen such a top military guy do. And we're going to break down more. We're going to break down the conversation between him and Nancy Pelosi, because her hands are not clean in this either. She was calling up. She was basically encouraging a coup. You know, you have to do something. He's out of control. And ironically, and I'm not the first person to notice this, these people are the exact authoritarian, crazy people that they accuse Trump of being. All of these actions that they allegedly took make them seem like they are unhinged. And they are going above the call of duty. At one point, there's an article, and I'm probably just going to reread the entire thing. We did touch on this yesterday, but I think it's worth rereading. That he was looking at all of the people in the room, basically making them take an oath that they would go through him if push came to shove. And it's inexcusable. I mean, the president of the United States is the commander in chief, and there's no excuse for this. I don't care what Mark Milley thinks Trump is going to do, you know, when he's at dinner that night or when he falls asleep, what dreams he has about Trump's maniacal behavior. That does not warrant this. This is completely out of bounds. And if calling up China behind the president's back doesn't warrant at least getting fired, then I give up. I give up. That's I say a lot when people call into this show, you know, everyone's outraged. You know, whether they're outraged about the sexiest man alive, Dr. Fauci, or about the FBI, people get outraged about a lot of things. And oftentimes I say, listen, I'm going to level with you. Nothing's going to happen. Nothing's going to happen to Hunter Biden. Nothing's going to happen to Jim Clapper. Nothing's going to happen to John Brennan. These people, whether it's right or not, and it's not right, are untouchable. In this case, if Woodward and Costa are telling the truth and nothing happens, I'm very fearful for this country, because it's a shocking allegation and it deserves some sort of accountability to be paid here. Now, something else I wanted to pivot to quickly here before we go, because I was very moved today. I was watching the testimonies in front of Congress of the gymnasts. There was Allie Raisman, Simone Biles, Michaela Maroney. And we will go back to the Milley stuff. We'll get all your takes on it. I'm sure people have opinions. But I have to mention this because I was just transfixed on these women giving their testimony about the abuse by Larry Nassar. And also a huge part of these testimonies were the failure on the part of the FBI. That's what a lot of these women were drilling down on. And incredibly powerful stuff. Specifically, and I'm a huge fan of hers anyway, because she's from New England. I think she's from Needham. Allie Raisman really was just not holding back on the FBI. And I commend all of these women for being so powerful and poised and determined to hold this monster, Larry Nassar, accountable, but also the people who enabled him. And the premier law enforcement agency, I can't even say that with a straight face, they dropped the ball again, and that doesn't do it justice, what these people did. But this is nothing new, you know? We've seen this over and over and over again. You know, red flags they had on school shooters, they let that go by the boards. Sarnia here in Boston, missed that one. They ruined the life of Richard Jewell. There's a great Clint Eastwood movie about that. They tried to undermine the election of Donald Trump with bogus investigations and numerous leaks. Who can forget all those Comey hearings where he talked about the grandfather clock and hiding behind the curtains in his blue suit? So they're insanely corrupt and insanely incompetent. And I'm happy these women are calling them out. And I want to play some of this sound. But first, I just want to say this. I am never surprised at how bad the FBI is at their job. I mean, I've learned from the best. I've learned from Howie Carr. You're not going to be in this studio for more than a week without hearing Howie Carr rant about the FBI. And he'll take you all the way back. You know, he doesn't go back 6 months. He goes back six decades with the FBI. But I think the part of this and what these women are talking about that really blows my mind, Because when I look back at all the nonsense that I've witnessed over the last 5 years with the FBI, a lot of it was very political. You know, it was Swampy, it was Comey and Ray and Strzok. And you knew, like Millie, you knew these guys hated Donald Trump. But when it comes to this case and these women, a lot of these women were just kids when this happened. A lot of them were young kids. And the FBI could have prevented something really bad from happening to a lot of children. And it's not political. It's not Democrat or Republican. It's just preventing harm, like horrible damage that these women are going to have now for the rest of their lives. And they're never going to be right. And to me, I just can't fathom these people knowing this and burying these reports or falsifying some of the testimony or not walking like feet to file a report so at least it would be on the books. I can't understand. And maybe there's a link of this I'm missing. Maybe there's some nefarious element that they had to gain from not doing their jobs here that I don't get. But to me, it's just like, isn't this why you wanted to be in the FBI, is to protect innocent people who are in harm's way? And you had the opportunity and you didn't do it. And you just let this guy go on and on and on. It reminds me of what we saw with the Catholic Church for a very long time. Where how do you know that there's a monster out there and nothing compels you to stand up and do something about it? It goes from incompetence and someone should be fired to just really morally bankrupt and gross. And I think I'll play a lot of this sound because the women did a great job. But I want to play one that really struck me, and it was by Ali Raisman, and I'm going to play two cuts. Let's start with cut three, please.
My reports of abuse were not only buried by USAG, USOPC, but they were also mishandled by federal law enforcement officers who failed to follow their most basic duties. The FBI and others within both USAG and USOPC knew that Nassar molested children and did nothing to restrict his access. Steve Penny and any USAG employee could have walked a few steps to file a report with the Indiana Child Protective Services since they shared the same building.
And I want to play cut four, please.
They quietly allowed Nassar to slip out the side door, knowingly allowing him to continue his work at MSU, Sparrow Hospital, a USAG club, and even run for school board. Nassar found more than 100 new victims to molest. It was like serving innocent children up to a pedophile on a silver platter.
It's breathtakingly gross how incompetent and unmotivated these people were to get this guy behind bars. As a lot of the gymnasts pointed out, he should have been put in jail the day they filed the report. And obviously he would have to go to trial, but something should have happened. He was just allowed to go back to his job, to his multiple jobs. And I just want to say now, Christopher Wray, Chris Christie's pick, is up there with his floppy hair, and he's going to give a scathing statement about how disappointed he is. Save it. You know how disappointed I am, Christopher Wray? I think you should get fired. I think you should step aside. I think you all should be fired at this point. I'm so sick of hearing these people. Now, he's going to get up after these women got up and talked about the worst times in their life, and he's going to get up and talk about how, oh, yeah, I had no idea, and I'm mad too. Save it. Nobody cares. You're a joke. Your entire organization is a complete joke. 844-500-4242. I see you guys on the line. Whether you want to talk about this, we'll keep playing cuts from these women, from the gymnasts, and we'll also we'll go into the General Mark Milley thing. We got a full hour planned. It's going to be jam-packed. We also have Kara Markowitz coming up in the 1 o'clock, Dear Grace, and some financial advice in the 2 o'clock. So don't go anywhere. It's going to be a great show. This is the Grace Curley Show.
She's never held office, but she paid the Whiskey Priest's monthly rent once. She's Grace Curley. Grace Curley. She's working for you.
I'm like Bette Midler in For the Boys. Gotta keep the troops entertained.
I don't want another young gymnast, Olympic athlete, or any individual to experience the horror that I and hundreds of others have endured before, during, and continuing to this day in the wake of the Laringaster abuse. To be clear,
take your time.
To be clear, I blame Larry Nassar, and I also blame an entire system that enabled and perpetrated his abuse.
That was Simone Biles, one of the U.S. gymnasts who was abused by Larry Nassar, the gymnastics coach who's now in jail. He's now in prison, but these hearings are amazing. And it's the same cast of characters coming out from the FBI, the DOJ Inspector General Michael Horowitz. We got Christopher Wray. It's the same old, same old. What is it going to take to clear house and bring in some new people? How many scandals do I have to watch these idiots explain themselves through? And by the way, Molly Hemingway, I'm glad people are finally picking up on this because a lot of people were talking about Millie all morning, and I understand that. But Molly Hemingway writes, Christopher Wray, who has repeatedly and defiantly defended the FBI's rampant and pervasive political corruption and incompetence, now claiming to be sorry that his agency let Nassar rape and assault young women and girls by slow walking claims against him. Slow walking is an understatement. But I agree. I mean, it's just rich to see Christopher Wray out there. Oh, singing the blues. Casey, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Casey.
Hey, how are you? I just want to tell you one. I own a veterinary clinic, and the Eden Pure works like the best.
Oh, that's awesome, Casey. I love that. I have one. I'm looking at one right now. I totally agree. If it works in a veterinarian clinic, then it must really be a powerful product.
Well, I have a new diabetic cat that's having screaming diarrhea, and it's clearing that out.
Very good.
So, anywho, I watched those poor women testify, and then Dianne Feinstein goes, if and when we investigate this.
Oh,
I
didn't even hear her say that, Casey. Di-fi figures, right? I mean, it's,
yeah,
you
if
know.
If and when.
I've said this before, but it takes a lot to amaze me when it comes to incompetence with the FBI. But this just, to me, it's so grotesque to think that these people knew they had a monster on their hands and they chose to ignore it. They chose to look the other way. And, you know, Allie Raisman made a great point. She's like, let's figure out why. Like, were there jobs? Were there incentives? Was there pressure? Why didn't we get the answers? And another point she made, and I'll play some of this on the other side, is all of these facts are very obtainable. We don't have to talk about this like we're never going to figure it out. Let's figure it out. I don't need to hear from Christopher Wray or Michael Horowitz. I'm sick of them. 844-500-4242. We'll be back with more of your calls. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Why are we left to guess why USAG and USOPC deliberately ignored reported abuse? Was it to protect the value of the sponsorships? The LA 28 bid? Their own jobs? To avoid criminal liability? Perhaps. But why must we speculate when the facts are obtainable? And the stakes are so high.
That was from Allie Raisman earlier today at this testimony in front of Congress about the FBI's failing, the USAG's failing, the USOPC's failing. These girls were failed on so many fronts. These women, I should say. And This is breaking, but the FBI has fired the special agent who failed to investigate the allegations of sexual abuse first made against former USA Gymnastics doctor Larry Nassar in 2015. And what I have to say to that is not good enough. That's not going to cut it. And you know what the other part of it is that drives me crazy is, so now we have Christopher Ray out there, and I just talked to Howie, and he said to me, Christopher Ray dropped the old, we fired him because he violated our code of ethics. And it's like, really? You really expect us to believe you guys have a code of ethics? I understand you think we're dumb, but we're not. You can't even think we're that dumb. P.S. How long do you think Christopher Ray spent today, like, blow-drying his bouffant hair? He gets out there and he's going to talk about how this was a failing. If it's such a big failing, do these people have no shame? Like, why don't you step aside? Even if you don't think it was your fault, isn't that kind of what you do if you're the head honcho and your organization has such an embarrassing failure? At what point do you say, I have to have some shame here and resign? But nobody resigns anymore. I might write about that. I'm going to text my Spectator guy and say, can I just write about how nobody steps aside? Nobody takes accountability. The buck doesn't stop anywhere. Unless, of course, they think they can get it to stop at Donald Trump's feet. And then maybe. But these people have failure after failure after failure. And nobody is held accountable. And I know this is just one, and I shouldn't be surprised, and they've had so many disasters at the FBI, but this one just, it was so many of these girls, the pain that they're going to have now for the rest of their lives was avoidable. You know, it didn't have to happen. People could have stopped it, and they chose not to. And those people are just monsters. I would say they're all monsters. If you enabled this guy to do this to people, I can't even wrap my head around it. Adam, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Adam.
Thanks, Grace. It's, you know, looking at this whole thing, it really is a reflection of the demise of America. No one has any discipline. Nobody has any courage. And ethics are out the plan. Everyone's looking at my retirement. If I spend a few more years here, I'll get my retirement bonus. I'll be out of here, blah, blah, blah. But the reality is they don't do well, I won't use that word. They don't do anything, period. And I am really hoping and praying that this kicks off a new era in terms of the ladies and the women in this country really get together and push for changes in the FBI and other organizations that are similar. Because really, it isn't working. It isn't working. It hasn't worked for years and years and years. And everybody just thinks, oh, we'll kick it down the road. Kick it. Put it under the carpet. Someone's going to forget. The new news cycle will come along, and bingo, it'll be forgotten. I hope this makes a change. I really do.
Yeah, I agree with you, Adam. Well said. And I think another part of it, too, is obviously these women are furious, and they should be, and they're speaking out. But I think there's a lot of family members, parents. I can't imagine being the parent of someone and knowing, you know, you do so much to protect your kids. You take so many precautions, and knowing that not just one or two, but like a lot of people knew this guy. You know what it makes me think of? Remember that movie Spotlight? And it was all about the Catholic Church scandal. And there was, and I haven't seen it in a while, so I might be butchering this, but there was a case, I think, of a mom, and she knew her son was sexually abused by one of the priests, and she contacted the church and said, you guys have to get rid of this priest. And rather than get rid of him, they just moved him to a different church a couple miles away. And it was horrible. The woman was like writing letters, you know, I know, and because in her heart, she knew there was going to be another kid like her kid who was damaged from this and who was put through something horrible. And so she couldn't stand by. She couldn't believe the church was allowing this to happen when she had given them fair warning. And that's what it brings me back to, that feeling of, wait a second, you had the power to help these people. You had the power to avoid a lot of this, and or at least bring someone to justice. And with a lot of the stuff with the FBI, I get it. I get how corrupt they are. I get that everybody's looking out for, you know, their political ambitions or whatever it might be. But in this case, it's a lot of times it's just young children that they decided not to help. And they decided to, as Ali Raisman put it, serving these kids up to a pedophile on a silver platter. That's the best way I can think to describe it. Let's play a couple more of these and then we'll move on to General Mark Milley. We do have Carol Markowitz coming up at 1:05 to talk about some of the masking at these schools and just the double standards, especially two nights ago with the Met Gala and all the COVID hypocrisy. Now, this is Michaela Maroney, and she specifically was mentioning how the FBI was very corrupt in the way they handled this. Let's just play it in order, Jared. So whichever cut was first from Michaela Maroney.
Let's be honest. By not taking immediate action from my report, they allowed a child molester to go free for more than a year. And this inaction directly allowed Nassar's abuse to continue. What is the point of reporting abuse if our own FBI agents are going to take it upon themselves to bury that report in a drawer? They had legal, legitimate evidence of child abuse and did nothing. If they're not going to protect me, I want to know, who are they trying to protect?
Absolutely. I think that's a great question. I'm wondering the same thing. A lot of times in these situations, you follow the money or you follow the power, and you kind of know where an answer might lead. Like, you know, nefarious. Okay, well, what's going on here? What's the answer? Why would they do this? In this case, I really don't know. I'm really confused. Was it sheer laziness? Was it sheer laziness that we don't want to look into this? Lord knows they didn't have a lot else on their plates. They weren't going after any of the tips they got about the school shooters. I know that going after Lego guys and anyone who put their feet on Nancy Pelosi's desk, I know that takes up a lot of time. But this was way before that. So what were they working on? What was so important that they couldn't figure this thing out? That they had to let it go on and drag their feet for months and months and months? It's a very good question. Let's play cut six, Michaela Maroney.
What's even more upsetting to me is that we know that these FBI agents have committed an obvious crime. They falsified my statement, and that is illegal in itself. Yet no recourse has been taken against them. The Department of Justice refused to prosecute these individuals. Why? Deputy Attorney General Lisa Monaco couldn't even bring herself to be here today. And it is the Department of Justice's job to hold them accountable. I am tired of waiting for people to do the right thing, because my abuse was enough and we deserve justice.
Yeah, and I have to say, I know that the special agent, you know, some no-name guy I've never heard of before, got fired. But I don't consider that. I understand this is how big organizations work. You know, you have to find a scapegoat. So you go, all right, you know, you're directly involved in this. You messed up. We'll fire you. But I think that a fish rots from the head, you know, and if there's a big, big issue, then someone that everybody knows, somebody who a lot of Americans recognize and have been seeing on their TVs over and over again, should get the boot. I think that would make people feel a lot better if they go, all right, well, a top dog got his pink slip from this, so maybe they'll bring in somebody more competent. For example, if you have a guy with floppy, gorgeous hair flowing in the wind who happens to be on your television all the time, and, you know, he's very confident in himself, and he speaks on all sorts of issues, Christopher Wray, why can't we fire him? He's the director. Does anyone at the top get fired, or is there just some guy that none of us know? Because I think that would make me feel better if they said, you know what, this was a huge mistake. We need to reevaluate. We need to reconfigure this whole thing. But they won't do that. They will not do that. They'll quietly fire some FBI special agent. And that's what these girls are supposed to feel good about. Oh, he's fired now. sorry about, you know, all your trauma. That guy that nobody knows, he's fired. So things should, things are looking up from here. Things should get better. Screw that. Get rid of some of these guys. Christopher Ray, that's the one I'm focused on. Nancy, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Nancy.
Hi, Grace. I tuned into that hearing, too. I wasn't going to listen, but when I started to listen to what they were saying, I was transfixed.
Yeah.
And my question is, don't any of these FBI agents have daughters? And I was also saying to myself, I felt a little badly for the young women because I thought, you know, they think they're really, you know, they finally found the champion. But, you know, all the blah, 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 blah that all the senators do, I still don't think anything will happen.
Yeah.
And I felt bad for them because I think they really thought, okay, this is it. We're really buddy on our side. And I'm not sure they do. They talk like they do, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, no, Nancy, you made a couple of points that I had thought of as well. What I will say, though, is even if those people do nothing, which I wouldn't put it past them, those women can be very proud that they spoke up, they said their piece. I know it's not justice. Whatever's going to happen here, it's probably not going to be justice, but they should be very proud of themselves because that takes a lot of guts. It takes a lot of courage. And Simone Biles broke down, and I don't blame them. It was very emotional. And as part of the first thing you said about having daughters, I didn't want to use that line because I hear that a lot with certain things, but I did say the same thing to Howie. I said, did none of these guys in the FBI, and there's women too, Michaela Maroney mentioned one of the women, but they get this report. It's a great question from Nancy. Did none of them have daughters? Did none of them have sisters or moms or sons? I mean, this kind of abuse happens to not everyone. I'm just saying it can happen to boys or girls. So did none of them have kids or did none of them have hearts or did none of them have compassion I can't understand it. I just can't understand. I said to Howie, it's like being a firefighter and just watching someone in a building and just going, I'll get to that tomorrow. It's urgent. You know, this was an urgent case and they just didn't do anything about it. Ursula, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Ursula.
Okay, I'm going to be the jerk that calls in and asks the question, where were these girls' parents? How many times were these girls bothered by, you know, molested by this guy? And there's got to be some complacency among the athletes and their parents. I mean, this sounds like this went on for years. Nobody tapped a younger kid's parent and said, hey, watch out for this creep. Not one of these girls' fathers took this guy out in the parking lot. I'm sorry. To me, it sounds like these parents told these kids that they had to, like, take one for the team because they put all this money into making them elite athletes. And, I mean, where are their parents? And this is, I'm sorry, this is like buyer's remorse. These people put up crap from this guy. And, you know, he should be in jail, but this went on for far too long. There was no way this was kept under wraps. And who are these people's caretakers, these kids' caretakers?
Yeah, and I think, well, Ursula, let me answer that in a couple different ways here. I definitely think that the parents are probably going to have some questions thrown at them. I think there's probably unique situations where some parents genuinely didn't know anything. And I don't know if parents knew. I really don't know enough about that part of it. But what I will say is I want to be very clear about that. I don't blame any of these young girls because this was a sick guy. And I think it's what happened to them is just horrible. I understand your question, though, that you know, as a parent, you should be at all times kind of making sure that nothing's going on. But the sad part is that I do think in this case, there was probably a lot of parents who were blindsided by it and a lot of kids who didn't say anything. And it's heartbreaking. It really is. But I have a feeling, Ursula, that I do understand what you're saying. And I think these parents will get some questions thrown at them as well. I appreciate the call, 844-500-4242. It's a tough subject. It really is. And I never, you know, I'm trying to be as careful as I can here because I can't imagine what these girls are going through. The Tour of Italy wine dinners are back this fall at Aviva Trattoria. Join Chef Anthony De Palma, the Aviva Culinary Team, and Martignetti Wines for a four-course wine dinner featuring food and wines from various regions of Italy. I had a great time with my sister back in July at the wine dinner in Malden. It was so much fun. We had antipasta, tiramisu. I ate that tiramisu in like 45 seconds flat. It was the best tiramisu I've ever had. The wine was flowing. There was a pig roast. It's just a really good time. They have a musician. I can't say enough about it. The whole time I kept looking at Marcy going, how much does this cost? Seriously? That's it? It just doesn't make any sense how much food and wine and fun you get out of the night. It's an insane deal. What you want to do to get this is the next Tour of Italy wine dinner will be at the Aviva in Wrentham next Tuesday. They had one last night, sold out completely, but there's still time to get involved with this wine dinner next Tuesday, September 21st at 6 p.m. A list of all the Aviva events are on their homepage at avivatrattoria.com. To purchase tickets, simply click the menu and tickets button below the event you wish to attend. That's avivatrattoria.com. 844-500-4242. We will be back with more of your calls on this tough topic, but I'm definitely glad we're playing this sound because these girls deserve to be heard. We'll be right back. This is the Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to the Grace Curley Show. She's got the voice of an angel.
I've been called the songbird of my generation, of people who've heard me.
It's Grace Curley.
Today's poll question is brought to you by Kennedy Carpet. Howie has used Kennedy for decades, and I'm going to make a visit there very soon, too. I'm really excited. For all of your flooring needs and carpet cleaning, go to kennedycarpet.com today. Jared, what is the poll question, and what are the results thus far?
Do you believe the Woodward Costa story about General Milley?
Yes.
64% say yes, they believe it. All right.
Still pretty close, though, which is a good poll question. I want to say something here. I have never had to endure anything like this, and I consider myself very lucky, and my heart goes out to anyone who has. Some survivors are reaching out to me right now, and they're saying that in response to what Ursula said, and I understand Ursula's reaction to it, but a lot of survivors are reaching out to me and saying, when something like this happens to you, you're scared to death. You might not tell anyone. It ruins people's lives. And I just wanted to put that out there because I can't talk about this. And, you know, fortunately for me, I have no idea what these girls are going through. I would never want anyone to know what they're going through. But people who have gone through something like this are reaching out and saying, Ursula was incorrect about that. A lot of times you're petrified and you don't say anything. And I appreciate people reaching out and giving us a little bit of their experience and their insight because it's a tough thing to talk about, but I think it's necessary. I think it's important that the FBI be held accountable. And like Ali Raisman said, the USAG, the USOPC, everybody should have to answer for this because it's a travesty. When we get back, we'll be talking to Carol Markowitz about some lighter things, the med ball, the mask mandates, and limousine liberal hypocrisy. Don't go anywhere. This is the Grace Curley Show.